Now, we've been talking just now about, you know, about Flintstones and breakfast cereals, and now, live from New York, we have a man called Bob. Bob, how are you?
James B.
Hey, welcome to the James B. Radio Show. You're on CFRB, and I am very happy about that.
And you're in New York.
I'm in New York now that I'm talking to you. I feel like I'm in New York.
And everybody who's tapping this is with us, and we're there.
Yeah, and we're all in one big happy love-in.
Yes, certainly now that I'm here.
So tell me, what has been happening in New York? I mean, I want to ask you a million questions, but let's start right now. What have you been up to lately?
Well, I'm a government, and my countries are in exile.
You are in exile?
No, I'm a government here at Command Central, and my countries are in exile.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
No, but I'm sure you're going to explain that.
Right, but I want to give you an exclusive, James.
Okay.
The old alchemists used to say that people became their names.
The new name is Bob?
Yeah, that people became their names. That's true. I've heard that.
Yeah, look at you. You're electric beat.
I'm electric
beat.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn off the music in the background just for a minute because what you're saying is too damn interesting. I need to concentrate fully. I can't have Lawrence Welk in the background.
Great.
All right. Now it's all your time. Okay, so you are a country.
I am a government at command.
His country is in exile.
And my countries are in exile.
Yeah.
But before we go into that, I want to give you an exclusive.
Cool.
The old alchemist said that people became their names. You're an example. You're an electric bee. You're on the air in the discounted state, buzzing around all the time.
Okay. I'll buy that for a dollar. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Frank Zappa came in with a new alchemy and said people become their high schools.
Really?
Yes, the particular high school they were at, the name of it, and its quality. And I will prove it for the Canadians.
Wow, okay, I'm going to keep trying to follow you here.
Marsh McLuhan.
Yep.
Went to Kelvin High School in Winnipeg.
Yep.
He is known by the dialectic of hot and cold media.
Okay.
Kelvin is a measurement of heat.
That's right.
That's right, the temperature scale.
Yep.
The Celsius scale in particular.
Wow.
So he goes to Kelvin High School, and then he projects over the whole world a system of perception based on hot and cold media.
Hey, Bob, I went to Newtonbrook. What does that say?
That means you're not a fan of Leibniz.
Hey, you're right. What?
What?
Don't you know about Leibniz and Newton, the ancient debate between them?
Oh, I was at a few of them.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes, you would have only heard one side of the debate at Newtonbrook.
Newtonbrook.
They wouldn't give you the Leibniz side.
No, you're absolutely right. I never heard much about Leibniz when I was at Newtonbrook.
I still haven't, but I've never been to Newtonbrook. Okay, I'm from Chippewa. I went to Chippewa, and then I went to Inglenook. Take your pick, Chippewa or Inglenook.
Well, I'll go Chippewa because, look, people, if there's anything James B. wants to be, it's an Indian.
Wow. I was an Indian in a past life, you know.
See, that you know that?
I had someone tell me that, yep.
Well,
and I actually, they took me through a regression, and I was there.
Well, that's what your whole effort in the rock world was to retrieve native scale.
Really?
And you acted it out.
Kimosabi.
That's right.
Cool.
Look, people.
Yeah, well, I actually knew you from way back then, and you have been in the States forever. I mean, I haven't seen you for ages, so what do you do now there? I know you're in, okay, so you're in exile.
No, you're in exile.
The countries are in exile. Get it straight, for crying out loud. He's the government. His countries are in exile.
Okay.
All right, and McLuhan went to Kelvin High School. Are you paying attention?
I am, but I hope there's no test afterwards.
Okay, so I'm doing what McLuhan never got an opportunity to do, which was to be working at Command Central and modulating the frequencies of the media based on a global thermostat.
You buy that at Radio Shack?
Definitely.
Radio Shack?
Is that where you got that thermostat?
Yes. Yeah. Very good. That's a cover. We used to get it at Book City, then we used Computer Land, but now we're using Radio Shack.
Okay, as long as I'm into the codes.
There
That's
we go.
Right.
Okay, so...
The global thermostat was the way you use media as a Kelvinated environment. You know, hot and cold media.
Yep.
What McLuhan hoped to do if he ever could become head of the United Nations and failed to, I have accomplished, and I am at Central Command orchestrating through a complex clairvoyance. And that brings up the second exclusive. This phrase, it's never been heard on Canadian radio before. Cloning ESP.
ESP.
That's what I do.
You really?
Yes.
Is there sheep involved?
Who?
A sheep. Is there a sheep involved?
Hello,
no.
Dolly.
No? Ah, that's a good distinction.
Okay.
Because those old scientists are cloning objects. I'm cloning the 100th monkey effect.
Oh, cool. Well, that's very important, and I know what the 100th monkey effect is, of course.
Right, so you're good on this topic.
Well, in particular, the 100th monkey, because for our listeners, you know, they did a study of islands of monkeys in the Fiji, and they dropped sweet potatoes from airplanes, and they'd land on the beach, and the monkeys would come and they'd eat them. And one day a monkey figured out, maybe if I go down to the ocean and put it in the water for a sec, it won't have sand all over it. It will taste better. And within a day or two, all the monkeys in all the different islands were doing the same thing, but they couldn't swim and tell each other, so they thought, hey, wait a minute. It's like this consciousness where species can know what each other are thinking without actually communicating
verbally.
Come on,
I saw Gilligan's Island. They beat on the trees with this rhythm.
Yeah.
That's how they hear it. Sounds like the guys on the other side of the island.
Well, they also did it with swallows in England, where the swallows learned how to open up cream tops in England, and then all of a sudden they had to get new milk jug bottles. Anyway, that's the 100 monkeys thing. So you're doing it for ESP.
No, that is ESP. The 100th monkey effect among the animals is ESP.
Okay, yeah.
And bingo, you have the perfect description of the story. So we have that laid down.
Sensory perception, yeah.
Yeah. Now, when the telegraph came in, then subsequently the radio and the TV and the computer and the satellite environments, each one of them was an extension of collective knowing.
Yes.
The simultaneity of the electric environment began 150 years ago. That allowed all citizens of the planet to have and engage in ESP that was technologized.
Okay. We can also see Full House in Germany.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, the point is now it's so miniaturized and we're so imploded that the ESP function is totally hijacked by machines. And when I say machines, I don't mean particular little sheep or little cars or radio stations. I mean the collective effect, the ESP we all pray to. That's what we call God and all that stuff, the thing, the hidden ground that will help us.
Yep.
That has been usurped and technologized. So ESP, human ESP, and first nature animal ESP has been cloned and usurped.
And you are the man, though, because now what is your involvement? Because you're doing a lot of this work in covert way, aren't you?
My covert mission is to reappear outside of that envelope of cloned ESP. And my wife and I are the first to have done that.
Bob, do you know what you're talking about? Because I'm lost.
Well,
that's because you don't have ESP. It's been interrupted. You're perceiving me through the technologized ESP, so it'll be hard for you to pick up what I mean.
So I have to go down to the water and start washing sweet potatoes with the monkeys,
yeah.
And I'll pick up on you?
You are doing it now. You're in the electric water with me.
I mean, electric water.
That's right.
I hope you don't have gas.
You wake tomorrow morning, you'll begin to understand what I'm saying. Because you're on the electric media. That was the key point of me being on CKLN. On the electric media, which is the cloned ESP, rudimentary cloned ESP, if you interact with me in that medium, then you can wake up from it and get outside of the envelope of cloned ESP and understand me.
I might just get a headache.
Well, you know what we're going to do?
You will get a headache.
You know what we're going to do, Bob? I'm going to get you to hold that thought. We're going to go to a commercial break, and I am going to explain to Ed the Sock everything you've just said. So stick with me if you can.
No problem.
All right. We got more with Bob and Ed. Ed the Sock and Bob Dobbs right after this.
They're entertaining. Speaking of religion, did you know that the Reverend Jerry Falwell is 666 today?
They're affectionate.
666 today.
Oh, very funny.
They're teasing.
Well, anyone who picks on Tinky Winky, I mean, come on.
They're inseparable.
Can a married couple work together? Sure you can, but you have to have some rules and regulations and then try and stick by it.
Well, we've been doing this now for, what, 18 years? So obviously it can work.
They're parents.
Now, that's not true.
It is true.
No, it's not.
It is absolutely correct, Carol. Admit it.
They're the moths. Listen weekdays 10 to 1.
It's our people who make the difference on CFRB 1010.
CFRB of music. Tune to today's hits. Yesterday's classic.
All on one radio station. Mix 99.9 FM.
This is Keith Lockhart with an invitation to join the Boston Pops for a holiday concert you'll never forget. Celebrate the holidays in style with favorites of the season performed by America's most popular orchestra. Don't miss the Fidelity Investments 1999 Holiday Pops Tour. It's sure to be the musical event of the holiday season.
Wednesday, December 8th in the Sears Theater at Air Canada Centre. Tickets on sale at Air Canada Centre box office or call Ticketmaster to charge at 416-870-8000.
James B. in your ear.
Do us a favor. Vent yourself some underpants.
On CFRB 1010.
Hey there, it's James B. back at you. We've got Ed the Sock in the studio and Bob Dobbs, founder of Church of the Subgenius, live from New York. Ed, it's all clear now, right? You know what Bob's been talking about?
Crystal.
There we go. Crystal clear.
Crystal clear.
All right.
James.
Bob Dobbs.
You got to say, when you say James B. in your ear, change that to James B. in your central nervous system, in your brain, in your bloodstream. You are inside people.
Oh, that's wonderful. I like that. I'm full of love for everyone, so yeah. That's good.
I'm not even going to touch it.
You're not in the ear. You're inside further.
I like that. I'm going to take your quote, what you just said there, and I'll use that as a stinger sometime, because I like that. Excuse the B jargon.
Great
I like the
word stinger. It's going to be great on T-shirts.
Yeah. James B. Now, tell me something, Bob Dobbs. Church of the Subgenius. You guys had your books are amazing. There was a whole group of you. There's a huge group of subgeniuses. And these are people that are below geniuses, but of course you are geniuses because you can make a joke like that.
Yeah, because we can satirize geniuses.
That's right.
We study the subtext of genius.
And you have a lot of people from Mensa and all kinds of people in your organization. Tell me about the war between you and the other Bob Dobbs.
Well, there's no other, but here's what happened.
No, I know there is no other because you proved that.
Right. Now, the point is that I am very happy and proud of what those boys created back in 1979, 1980. I claim credit for inspiring it because they met me in a bar. Doug St. Clair Smith, who became Reverend Ivan Stang, and Philo Drummond, I don't know if that was his real name, but that's how he presented himself to me, in February 1978. I met him in a bar in Dallas when I was doing intelligence work down there. And they got talking about their life. They just got out of college, doing a lot of reading underground work like Robert Anton Wilson's Luminatus trilogy, maybe taking some chemical recreation, and they were interested in real conspiracy topics. So I laid out some actual facts from my life. This inspired them. They came back the next day, wanted some more. I gave them some more, and I just was a probe into the American youth to see what would happen. They went off, started using it on CB radio stuff. Then they started printing up pamphlets. And eventually, McGraw-Hill published the Book of the Subgenius in 83 based on their pamphlets.
That's right.
Now, that whole thing took off and was very big in college and underground culture. This image of me, but it was a picture of my father that I had shown them. Now, I didn't know they had created this. And they have full credit for all the improvised humor they created. I had nothing to do with that.
That's right. And so it's a big happy family. Lots of subgenius.
Right. Now, what happened was they predicted that the Exus, this intergalactic monster, would come on July 5th, 1998. Now, how I knew that they were using my father as a source for the image, excuse me, it's zapped here, is that my father died on July 5th, 1976. I had told them about the importance of the number 22. 22 years later, they picked the date, July 5th, 1998, for the Exus to come.
Wow. Wait, that's amazing. And tell us, explain about the power of 22.
Wait, what happened when the Exus came?
Okay, yeah, we'll do the Exus first.
The Exus came on July 5th, 1998, not in the way Stang predicted. It came in the way I predicted, which was that they had already shown up in February 1988 when I was at CKLM. So here it is, in July 5th, 1998, they're up in a place up New York State, the whole gang and 400 people or more, at Brushwood, at a resort. On July 5th, 7 o'clock in the morning, they count down. This is the summer of 98. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. At 1, the Exus don't fly over. They expected it. They count down again. When nothing happened, Stang threw up his arms and said, "Where are you, Bob?" They all jumped him, and this is all on the video they sell. It's a funny video. Go check it out.
Yeah.
They take him to the local pond, and they dose him with syrup and pink feathers, because to be a pink is to be an enemy.
That's right.
Of the Church of Subgenius. They dosed him with this stuff, and they threw them in the pond nude, and they get this all on video, and they humiliate them. They're angry that the Exus never came. And so it's there on the tape. They say, "Does this mean we go to Canada where the Canadian Bob Dobbs is?"
Wow. So the exes didn't show up, and because they had predicted that they'd show up, you were the hero, and these guys were dreamers.
They were humiliated.
I've had a few exes, and I'm glad they don't show up, Bob.
That's right. Well, here's the point, is the exes are cloned ESP. They didn't know that. But when Stang was there commiserating, screaming, "Bob, why'd you abandon me?" He meant his cartoon image of Bob. And they're saying, "Well, we have to go to Canada because obviously the Canadian Bob Dobbs," that's what they called me,
yep,
"is correct."
Well,
and he said, "Okay, go to Canada." And that's on tape, so I won, and it happened that morning.
Wow. And, you know, CBC Brave New Waves, I remember you did a debate many years ago with, so you had the U.S. Bob and the Canadian Bob, and you did a debate, and they had a call in, and everybody knew that you were talking like the sub-genius that you are.
Yeah, I won.
Yeah. Hands down. Tell us about 22. What is the power of the number 22?
Well, we're all doubleness. Let's remember that. We got two eyes. We got two minds. We're always indecisive because we got ambiguity in our consciousness. That's because the Boodians from the constellation Booties altered us.
I know Booties. That, apparently, I guess they've been down here visiting, right?
I've been to a few Booty calls.
That's right. They do the crop circles. They've already landed and communicating through the crop circles.
Cool. Okay, so that's Booties.
Yeah, they altered us genetically. We were sort of like Neanderthal man, but another stream of eight. And when we got older, we became Cro-Magnon man. And they did that in 27,500 B.C. That created ambiguity in our consciousness, not just memory reflex, which is in all animals.
Right.
In all creation. We as humans have a doubleness, a meta-memory. Now, that doubleness is two. Now, today, when we clone ESP, because ESP is based on our consciousness, which is double, if you clone it, you got two twos.
That's right.
Ballet. That's 22.
22, and that's also the power of 1111 for a lot of New Agers, which is 22.
And it's the power of Toronto. Toronto.
Wow.
It's a bit of a stretch, Bob.
That's the last one, but I like it all. I think it's all good. And, you know, so 22 is your number. It's our number. It's everyone's number.
No, 22 is not my number.
No.
I recognize 22 as a pattern in tactile tetrad management in the 80s. It then became 14 in the 90s, but the real number is the letter 8 on its side, which is infinity.
Infinity sideways, yep.
That's me.
So you're an 8 sideways.
I'm immortal.
Okay, and then the 14.
I don't mean immortal the silly way. I use B-cell water, and I'm going to live a long time. Plus, I help
you. You use what?
B-cell water. It's energized water. I've been using it for 30 years. This is my anniversary.
You put D-cells in water?
It's like battery water? Or
a little piece of cement with a special immortal, weird Akashic energy that energizes the water. We can see it under the microscope, but we don't know what it is.
Have you been to the Akashic records?
I do it through the Evergreens out there in White Rock, British Columbia. Anytime I talk to them, I talk to Marsh McLuhan. I could play my interview with Zappa McLuhan on your show in the future.
Really?
Yeah, I've done symposiums with Krishnamurti, Duchamp, Gurdjieff, President Eisenhower, McLuhan.
Wow.
Tremendous stuff.
You ever speak to Bob Crane?
I could.
Yeah. I'd like to find out who actually killed him.
Oh, I could do that. No problem.
Okay.
That's amazing. Yeah, when you said Akashic, that just got me thinking about more of that New Age stuff, because I know someone in Florida who goes up to the Akashic records, comes down, tells you all about what you've done this life, what you've done in your past life, but he won't tell you what's coming up because he thinks that's wussing out in life, and he won't.
Ah, but my medium will. They told me exactly how I'm going to reincarnate, and it may be my luck that I know, so it might be a mistake if I don't want to reincarnate, but maybe I do want to reincarnate. Some woman, 13 years old, in the future, right when I die, she'll be in India giving birth to a kid. She'll have had two kids before. She'll be poverty-stricken. She'll say something as she dies, as she gives birth to the third child. I will hear what that 13-year-old girl is saying as she's giving birth, and that'll spin me out, and I'll reincarnate on it.
Wow.
This is on record. I'm the only guy who's ever publicly said why I will, if you're a Gnostic, it's a mistake to reincarnate. If you're not a Gnostic and you love this world, it's no problem reincarnate. I won't reincarnate as an animal or insect, as another human being, and I already know how it's going to happen.
Wow. So, I mean, that's pretty good. Now, tell me about Shirley MacLaine. Have you ever talked to her? Because she doesn't know probably what she's going to be, but she thinks she knows who she was.
Look, you can't. Here's the point. We got all our lives are going on at the same time, past, present, future. When you die, you go to the center of a plate, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
And on the rim of the plate, you'll see 3,000 ants, so to speak. Those are your 3,000 lives. Every one of those lives is going on constantly. So you will pick one that you want to live again and reincarnate into it. And it includes this life, and you can come and redo it in a different way. So it's infinity in the other dimension.
No, actually, I know what you're saying. It's kind of like a video. If you're halfway through a movie, right? You're halfway through a movie. The movie's already done. You've only looked at half of the movie. You could always go to the beginning or go to the end and watch a different part of the movie, right?
Excellent.
Yeah.
You got it.
Thank you so much. I want to get you on the show in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, JP.
It's always a pleasure.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ed the Sox.
See you, Bob.
All right. Bye. That was Bob Dobbs, Church of the Subgenius.